In returning and rest, you shall be saved, and in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's no particular liturgical feast for New Year's Eve. However, no matter the time or the day, nor the occasion, it is always good to be in the house of the Lord with you. It is always good that we pass the time, our finite years, in confession of our sins, in thankfulness for God's mercy of the forgiveness of our sins, and in firm reliance that He indeed hears our prayers, and He works all things in this life for our good. It is always good that we order our days and our deeds in His wisdom and love, for that is the only way that we shall attain to that eternal and endless day. So then, in solemn worship gathering tonight, in the last hours of 2024, we commend our bodies and our souls and our life and all that passes in it to our Lord's care and His concern. After all, we must remember that time belongs to God's good creation. There was evening and there was morning the first day, we're told in the Genesis. The seasons and the days were given for a godly purpose, namely that we should live by faith in God's promises, steward His creation, and bear His image in His gifted world. But alas, the enticement of that arch thief, our eternal days are now numbered. Sinful disobedience brought death. It brought the fact that now time and life pass away. Time and life are no longer an unlimited resource. Now many live delusionally as if time and life were unlimited. Many try to hide this fact under endless rounds of excessive partying and drinking and other anesthetizing vices. Though it is pointless to try and imagine death away or to cover it up, we are given by the sinful nature to continue such foolishness and stupidity year after year. But by nature, in some small way, I believe that man knows that the cessation of his life, the end of his life, is not good. That the end of a year drives a man to consider how sin and death have brutally altered his life. But granted, few are willing to stare into that reality and face their mortality. So the Lord must jarringly wake His creation from its revelry, carousing, drunken stupor, if you will. In an earlier parable in Luke's gospel, Jesus will say, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." This temporal life is a mist, as St. James says, and it appears for a time and then it vanishes. It blooms and then it quickly fades. So the thought of planning our life, of pulling all the right strings, of arranging things just so that we have them just the way that we want them, in one way is a foolish exercise in futility. Yes, don't get me wrong. We plan and we dream and we hope, but we always do so in humility, saying, "If the Lord wills," or "God willing, may this happen." Otherwise, as the old proverb has it, man plans and God laughs. And God was laughing and also weeping at the citizens of Judah in the days of the prophet Isaiah. The Assyrians were breathing down their necks from the north, and they sought in their hubris, in their pride, and in their panic, an unholy alliance with pagan Egypt. They sought their money and their might. They sought their provision and their protection. And in doing so, They lost all sight of God and His Word. They did not want to hear the prophets. They did not want to hear anything about God. And they became a rebellious people, unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. And when you think about that, you realize that you and I are no different. As we were called this past year, all its regrets and its reverses, we remember that either out of our own anxiety or fretting, or our own pride or our own stubbornness, we too lost sight of God, becoming an obstinate people. We too have reveled in the thought that we were the God of our own time and own life, and that eternity was this project that we could easily assemble and do for ourselves. But tonight, as our earthly days roll on, and as we were sorely mistaken about that eternity project thing, Isaiah calls out after us with these beautiful words: "In returning and rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." Which is to say that it's only in repentance, that is, returning to your Lord and God, and in quietness and peace of your God, that you shall be saved in time and also hereafter for an eternity. Now, you may wonder, as I did when I thought about this text, how is it that in quietness and in rest will salvation come to you and I? How is it that simply by the receptive hand of faith that you and I will be granted immortality and eternity? How is it that we ought not to fret and worry about our own salvation, given how we have lived as poor, miserable sinners in the body while here below? How is it that by doing nothing, you and I receive everything? And then you read St. Paul's words to the church at Rome, and you realize that the answer is one simple thing: that your God is not against you, but that He is for you. In other words, your God is not your enemy, but rather He is your Savior. Your God, therefore, did not spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for you. Thus, your God can be trusted to give you all good things. After all, consider the fact that He gave you His Son, from which all other good things proceed and come forth. You can trust God, for He alone is the one who justifies you. He declares you not guilty in His Son. So consider that not Satan, not the painful memory of the past and its sins and its disappointments, not the worry of future sins and its failures, can condemn you or rob you of the life that you now have, that is given to you by God in His Son Jesus. So because of that gift of God's Son, His mercy and His love, you can live a peaceable and quiet life. You can wait in patience for your Lord's return. You can believe that no wickedness of evil men, past or present, will remain unpunished. You can also believe that all godly men, past and present, will not remain unavenged. You can, through your blood and your sweat and your tears, serve your neighbor in sacrificial love, forgetting self and your own needs. You can remain calm and composed in these evil and fading days, walking humbly in the fear and the faith of your Lord and God. You can even be blissfully ignorant, not knowing the hour of your Lord's return, but simply by faith to know that your Master is certainly at hand, and that He comes to rescue you from this fallen earth. For quietness and trust, Isaiah says, shall be your strength. And this is why you do not lose heart. This is why, though the years of our life in this world on earth bring much trouble, much to fret about, much to weep over, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, sickness, danger, sword, death, St. Paul gives this list, and we could add to it a number of other things. It is by no means an easy life, and its way is treacherous, but it is also a redeemed life, and the way is illuminated by the light and the love and the mercy of the Son, Jesus. You are the people of his pasture, the psalmist says, and the sheep of his hand. Thus, you are not given over to sheep to be slaughtered, to the loss of all things, to the ancient serpent and thief that took your abiding life and made it numbered. Rather, you are given to abundant life, life upon life, radiant eternity, for you are bound to the Son who has redeemed your time and gives you endless days. And not only endless days, but endless days with all the saints and the citizens who also now rest in his quietness and his strength. As Luther once preached long ago, all that is ours passes away and lasts but a short while. For what are 40 years or 50 years or even 100, he says. But with a man who has an everlasting kingdom, all is well. All is well as we live in the secure embrace of our Savior Jesus. And yet we are also a people who wait. Time is for waiting. The days are for waiting. And our Lord knows this, and he knows that it's hard. So he waits upon us in our waiting. He dresses us in baptismal robes for divine service, and he seats us at his royal table, and then he serves us with his body and his blood, giving us the promise of his unshakable mercy amid this perilous journey returning home. And Satan, the thief, he also knows that time is waiting. And so what does he do? He lurks in the shadows, waiting for all the opportune times to snatch us from our Father's arms. He has one goal in his miserable existence, and that is this: to cut us off from the source of our faith, to destroy our quiet trust and our promised rest that we have in our Savior and our God. After all, he knows that if we abide in our Savior's word and gifts, there's no way that he can destroy our trust or our calm resolve to live a peaceable and quiet life before our God and before our neighbor. And so as the gifts of your Heavenly Father keep you dissatisfied with yourself, they will cause you to seek a life that is unending and is only found in God alone. So, beloved, do not grow weary in doing good and abiding in the gifts of your Savior, for that is the only armor that you have against the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. It is also, mind you, the source of your peace and strength in the uncertainty that surrounds your future years and days on this earth. For as you recline at his table in quietness and trust, his precious blood guards and defends you and keeps you from all evil. And there he remembers you, and there you are made ready for his coming. The Lord God has bound you to himself in the flesh of his Son here in time, so that there is nothing that in all time and all space that shall be able to separate you from his love. Not what happened in 2024, not what will happen in 2025, or any other year for that matter. Neither life nor death. No, not ever. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord with you, to remember that our Lord is not against us, but rather he is for us. That he's not our enemy, but he is our Savior. That he uses his creation to serve and care for us, to shelter us with his presence, and to bring us to repentance and faith, to feed us and forgive us. A quiet and trusting heart that believes that your Lord has done this is currently doing this and will always do this for you. Throughout your years on this earth shall be your strength and rest, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until eternal life. Amen.